We're very thankful to have everyone on the call this morning, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We're very honored to have you in the listening audience, and we thank God that you've chosen to join us this morning in worship. We hope you've enjoyed the singing and praying and notice that we take communion. We partake as a memorial, and Jesus has commanded us to do that in remembrance of him, and we do that every first day of the week, every Sunday, according to Acts 20, verse 7. So you want to make sure that if you understand to be saved, one must be doing these acts of worship, singing, praying, taking communion, collection, to give of our means, not grudgingly of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And so we are thankful this morning that each of you are on the call. We're going to be studying from Revelation chapter 13 this morning, Revelation chapter 13. If you're on the call, you have not been born again of the water and of the Spirit, you need to be baptized. Believe in Jesus hung on that cross for you. Shed the blood, you contact that blood in baptism, then the Lord adds to the one church you can read about in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. There's only one in there. So this morning, let's continue our study of the book of Revelation. Great study. I hope you enjoyed it so far. I really enjoyed digging into the scriptures and really enjoying the study for myself. As we pick up in chapter 13, last week we learned in chapter 12 about that old serpent. There's a great wonder in heaven. But then we figure out he told us that old serpent called the devil had been loosed on the earth, old Satan himself. Now in chapter 13, the Bible says there, John said, John now is in a vision still. John said, I stood up on the sand of the sea. It's almost like he's by the sea on the sand, looking at the sea. And so he said, I saw a beast. He sees something he called a beast. Remember, symbols never symbolize themselves. So this beast he's looking at, rise up out of the sea. Can you see it? It's got to come up out of the sea. And it has seven heads. Imagine this. Visualize it. Use your mind's eye. Look at John standing on the sea. Imagine you standing, this monster come up, this beast come up. You got seven heads. Man, what a beast. He got 10 horns. And up on his horns, he got 10 crowns. Imagine him, 10 heads, seven heads, 10 horns sticking up. And on them horns, got crowns on them. And up on his heads. Notice what's up on his head. A name, the name of blasphemy. And John said, I see him. He got on his head the name of blasphemy. Oh, man, a sea beast. Not literal, but symbolically. Seven heads, 10 horns, a crown. Showed up against God when he got blasphemy wrote all over his head. He's against God. It's not something in favor of God. He's blasphemy is his name. Verse 2, the beast, which I saw, John said, this beast I saw, he was like unto a leopard. And his feet, now you can see his feet. His head came up, now you see his feet. He looked like a leopard. And his feet was as the feet of a bear. And his mouth, the mouth of a lion. Man, this got to be a sight here. I think I'd been running by with John. The dragon, notice it. And he said, the dragon gave him power. The dragon gave him power. Gave him his power. And y'all remember that old dragon, don't you? From last week, we learned about the dragon. That old dragon is the devil. In Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, go back over there, look good. Make sure we know who this dragon is. And verse 7, Revelation 12, 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels. So the dragon, he got some angels, and he prevailed not. Neither was there a place found anymore in heaven. He's not in heaven anymore. The great dragon was cast out. And the Bible tells us who he is. That old serpent called the devil. and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. And y'all remember now, I talked about that last week, a dragon was upset with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. I talked about last week that woman was the church, and he's warring with the Christians, and those who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, Old and New Testament, the two witnesses, Revelation 12 and verse 17. So now we know this beast has been given power, this ugly beast, all these heads, and all horns, and blasphemy on his name. And then the devil give him some power. Give him power and his seat. So it's a him, his seat, and great authority. He got this. This is a powerful guy. He's under the influence of the devil. Old dragon, he's working for the dragon. The dragon is giving his power to him. Now, remember this. The old dragon got angels. Got a helper here. Helper is called a sea beast. I think this is the great trio. You got Satan and this sea beast. And then watch this in verse 3. He said, I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. He'd been wounded. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, they're worshiping Satan, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Break this down for y'all. John, what you see? I see a sea beast. See, he wounded. He wounded, but he ain't dead. Some say, when you look at this, they start coming up with all these different interpretations. However, I'm going to be simple. I want y'all to think about this. We should think about the most powerful empire in the world. When you look at Christianity, it's in Rome. It's called the Vatican. A lot of power there. Vatican Church. Right now, the membership, 1.2 billion all over the world, a lot of power. Roman Catholic Church, first pope was Boniface III, first breakaway from the one church that started AD 33. That was the Church of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Church of Christ started in AD 33. Jesus done some damage on the cross to Satan, but he didn't kill him. He's alive. He's in the earth. And now, he gave power to someone. The Roman Catholic Church started 600 years later in the Church of Christ. There, and just so my friends on the call, maybe not members of the Church of Christ, I'm speaking the truth in love, but you can't find no modern day denominational church in the Bible. It's not in there. You got to go in the encyclopedia. You want to know about the Roman Catholic Church? It's not in the Bible. All right, so we got to think about this. The Roman Empire, one of the most powerful forces against the true church, and it's not even in the Bible. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. I'm going to show you that. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name. Notice what he's going to go against. He's going to blaspheme God. He's going to blaspheme his name. He's going to blaspheme the church, the tabernacle. he gonna blaspheme them that dwell in heaven. He says, now he gonna blaspheme against God, the church, and heaven. He's not there anymore. Remember, that old beast is not there anymore. So you gotta remember. You gotta remember. He's down here doing damage. That's how he got to Job. In Revelation 13:7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto, notice this, all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and all dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name, now here's who's going to worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This beast, sea beast, makes war with the saints and has power to overcome anyone whose name is not in the book of life. And we know those whose names are in the book of life are those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 7, and in verses number 14. Brother, sister, the only way the devil can win is that he can emphasize, has influence, excuse me, over all those who have not, who do not wear the name Christian, who have not been sealed, Ephesians 1:13, by obedience to the Spirit. Remember in Revelation 9, they could hurt those who were not sealed. So here's what we got going for us. We got the truth. We got the Bible. We got the two witnesses. We got the Old Testament. We got the New Testament. We got Christ. He's come. He has a wife, the church. They come together as one. Now the seed are those of us who are in the church of Christ. He can't get to us unless we allow him. And the only way we can allow it is that we go back and leave the Lord. Here's why you need to obey the gospel. And this is the second thing we need to understand. For those who are not on the church, in the church of Christ, you are subject to the devil's influence because there's only one place that you can escape, that he cannot hurt, he cannot get to us because we're hedged. But God gives us choice. This is to those who done left the church. Some of you have not been faithful to the church. You left the church. You know the church of Christ is the only true church in the Bible. There's no argument. Somebody said, well, I need to study that. I'm starting to say now, some things you don't have to study. You just don't. You don't believe. If you don't have to study one. You know how to count $1 versus 100. So you don't have to go study. Somebody said, well, I'm going to give you $100 and $1. $100, well, I need to study about that. No, you don't need to study. Do you believe there's a $1 bill or do you believe there's a $100 bill? You know the difference. So it ain't all about studying. It's about belief. You can't believe in one church, you don't believe the Bible. You also better believe in the devil. You should believe there's heaven. You should believe there's a hell. And so when you believe, you believe. Now believe this. The only people that the Satan cannot hurt are those whose names are in the book of life. That's those who obeyed. And some of you members of the church need to come back home. You weren't worshiping before COVID-19. Now you're on the conference call. Are you going to come back to the building when the disease is gone? Or are you going to go back to doing what you were doing? You got to decide. Being faithful to God means worshiping. Yeah, we're restricted. We're not forsaking your worship. We're restricted. We're not going up there with that invisible monster killing everybody. God gave us better sense than that. Use wisdom. We're going to go back when it's safe. Amen. In the first century, the church scattered all over the book of Acts. They scattered. They were trying to kill them in Jerusalem. Well, you notice that? Notice this. You never read when none of the children and were killed. You know why? Because those men, the apostles, took the lead. You read about them getting killed. They sent their families home. Why? So they didn't get killed. Why are we telling our families to stay home? Stay home so you don't get killed by this disease. So many people dying from this disease. Yeah, that's a side note. But you see, the disease got you caught up in your house now. Now you're listening to conference calls. You're listening to the word of God. God got a way of getting to us. There are people dying all around us, all over the TV now. If you don't believe in death, you ought to believe in it now. Everybody who believed that COVID-19 was a hoax, just ask somebody whose family member done died, this is a hoax. Ask somebody who's on a ventilator, is it a hoax? That's a bunch of foolishness. You gotta open your eyes. Don't be blinded by this type of stuff that's going on in the world. The devil has sent strong delusion. People start believing lies. End up on a ventilator. We got the young people going to college, playing a game with this thing. Yeah. Playing a game of COVID-19. Betting on who can get it. Going there knowing they're infected. What kind of foolishness is that? That's suicide. Suicide. Walk around, act like this ain't real. It ain't something real. It's real. We're living in the earth, y'all. This thing is real. And we said, brother, what they got to do with this? The devil. The devil is influencing people. Influencing people to just tear up stuff, burn up stuff. I hope y'all Christians don't believe that type of protest is approved by God. That's simple acts. Simple acts. We're men and women of peace. We live peace with all men. As much as it lied in us, we live peaceful. Jesus was peaceful. We should be peaceful. What I'm saying is, it's the advantage in the situation that we're dealing with. This situation we have is that we want our name in the book. To get baptized, it gets in the book. And you got to live faithful to keep your name in the book. That's what I'm talking. I'm talking to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. The devil got you. You haven't obeyed God, and that's what he's doing. He's blaspheming the name of God. He's going to blaspheme the church of Christ. He's going to blaspheme against everybody who's in heaven because he can't go back. The devil's out. He can't get back. All he got is the bottomless pit. We already talked about that. Now, John said in verse 9, he said, if any man have an ear, let him hear. John said, y'all better be listening to this. How many of y'all listening to what I'm saying? He said, brother, Revelation, so hard. I'm explaining it to you in a way where you can understand it. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to break it all down and show you exactly what he's talking about. He said now, in verse 10, he said, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, this is simply saying, you reap what you sow. The blind lead the blind. You won't follow a blind teacher. You're going to go down in the ditch with him. The devil wants us blind. If a person get caught up in doctrines and commandments of men, you will be killed by those same doctrines. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 7 and 8. He said, you know, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now here's the patience of the saints. Well, John is saying, y'all better listen. If you get into captivity, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to reap with the sword, kill with the sword. You're going to get killed with, must be killed with the sword. Now, then he said the patience of the saints. In Revelation 14:12, he said, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus. Takes both. The faith of Jesus is New Testament. Everything Jesus taught his disciples and apostles written in the New Testament. Commandments of God all through the Bible. But there is something called the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9. That's the teachings of the New Testament. The New Testament did not come in effect until the death of the testator. That's Jesus. But when I die, my will, if I have a will, none of my family can get to anything unless I got to die. If you left a will and testament, and your children, nobody can get anything until you go. The New Testament wasn't available. Could not be a covenant. You didn't have no agreement until Jesus died on the cross. When he died on the cross, that's why he told his apostles, this you do in remembrance of me. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're not taking the literal blood. He was still alive when he told them that. What we doing? We take it by faith. This is the blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sin. Brother Michael quoted that earlier. Paul said it again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's a memorial. Why? It's a memorial that Jesus shed that blood in Calvary in Jerusalem. Luke 24 said he suffered. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he died for our sins. So what happened here? Jesus suffered on that cross, and he told us, you remember me by drinking the blood of the New Testament. He said, this part you partake in, what you're doing is partaking in a memorial of the one who died on the cross. That's why it's important that we know the Old Testament, the two witnesses. The difference between the old and the new is that Jesus gave us a new agreement, a new way, a new church, a new plan of salvation. David wasn't saved like we are. We're saved when we're baptized in water for the remission of sins. Somebody said, I don't believe in baptism. Well, don't worry about heaven because you don't believe in the Bible. That's your problem. 1 Peter 3:21 says baptism does also now save us. I don't know why people work so hard to try to prove baptism wrong when it simply says, Jesus said it. I believe in Jesus. We don't believe in him very much because he the one said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's what Jesus said. How are you going to go around here saying you don't believe in baptism? I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in baptism. Jesus was the one commanding it, man. Matthew 28:18, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's in the Bible. Stop saying you believe in Jesus. You don't believe in him. You believe in whatever you want to believe. It'd be just like them folk on the day of judgment. You're going to be shocked. Matthew 7:21. These people were believers. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. These people call themselves believers. Jesus said, they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say unto me that day, here they are, these good people who believe in Jesus. Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out devils? In your name done many wonderful works? Oh, you fed the hungry, didn't you? You did all the good things. You went to visit the sick and shut in. That's good. You did good works. But here's what Jesus said in verse 23. I never knew you. Depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity. You came up with your own way. You didn't even believe. I told you to be baptized. You didn't even get baptized. You put your hand on the radio. You accepted Jesus, your personal savior. You prayed a sinner's prayer. I didn't tell you to do none of that. You got sprinkled with water. I never told you to go get sprinkled. Christians in the Bible were buried in water for the remission of sin. Yeah. Talk about you believe in Jesus. You believe in what you want to believe in. You doing what you want to do. Jesus said he's going to build his church. Matthew 16:18. Up on this rock I will build my church. He said the church belongs to him. When I say my car, I can't attend the car of my choice. That's my car is my car. I only got the key to my car. Jesus said that. And Paul came back in Ephesians 4:4. So there's one body. Ephesians 1:22. He tells us the body is the church. Yeah. One body, one church. And to believe in this book called the Bible, you can only believe in one God, Jehovah, one Son, Jesus, one Holy Spirit, yeah. One baptism, that's water. It ain't gasoline. It's water. The soldier pierced Jesus in the side. Came two things we got to get in. Blood and water came out of the side of Jesus, John 19:34. You step in baptism, water and blood. You step in there, believing blood is in there. By faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Spend some time on that. Yeah, I listen to people argue over baptism. Those are unbelievers. Anybody argue over any church you do, you're an unbeliever. You can't say any church you do and believe in this book, you're an unbeliever. That's what you are. You're an unbeliever. Besides, you're going to believe the Bible. When you start believing the Bible, you're believing one. Yeah, you're believing one. You say, what, brother, what's going on? I'm going to show you here in a minute. You got to have the faith in Jesus. My point here, you got to believe what's in the New Testament. You got to believe what Jesus wrote. You understand this? Solomon said this. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We're to fear God and keep his commandments. There it is. You got to keep the commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Yeah, this is the whole duty of man. Our duty, while we're living, the conclusion of the matter of our life is the question is going to be this. Did you fear God and keep his commandments, or did you not? That was your duty. For God going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, he said, whether it be good or evil. I don't want to take nothing up there with me. I got washed in the blood because Jesus said, it was God who said, your sins I remember no more. That means you get washed in the blood. He said, your baptism is for the forgiveness or the remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22 said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You got to get washed in the blood. And you got to be in the blood purchase church, Acts 20:28. The blood purchase church is the church of Christ. And then we partake in communion. That communion, we drink in that blood by faith. And then we walk in the light, 1 John 1:5-7. And the blood continues to cleanse us. Why? You got a relationship. Those people, the devil can't get to. Now, are you in the church of Christ? Are you taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Have you been baptized? Have you obeyed the Spirit? To obey the Spirit means to obey the Bible. That don't mean you flop around on the floor speaking in some language can't nobody understand. That's the Holy Spirit didn't tell us. He don't do stuff like that. Yeah, so spend some time right there because there's another beast. I'm saying all this stuff coming down, I'm going to close it out. You get why? Yeah, all this will come to a meeting. I'm saying right now, the devil can influence. And look at verse number 11. John said, I beheld another beast. I thought it was a trio. It's a trio. The devil, the sea beast. And watch the now, this beast coming up out of the earth. Now, the other one's coming up out of the sea. Remember that? And this one, now, visualize that John's looking. Here comes something up out of the earth. Another beast. What a sight. And this beast had two horns like a lamb. Wait a minute. Y'all ever thought about a lamb, innocent little lamb? Think about that. Humble, harmless. But listen, this thing had two horns like a lamb. And when he opened his mouth and spake, he talked like that dragon. Oh, it was Satan's voice coming from the lamb. Here's another powerful helper of that old dragon. He's speaking what the dragon speak. The first beast was a sea beast. This next beast is one who comes upon the earth. Oh, okay. This one has power just like the first beast. Now watch him. Let's go 12 through 15. I hope I ain't put you to sleep. Here come the answer to these. What may be mysterious to some is really pretty clear to me. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he did great wonders so that he maketh fire come from down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast. He had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now here, there was something called the Roman Empire. I'm really confident with this. I'm getting ready to say we start looking at all the kings, go back to Daniel, all the references in the Old Testament about the kings, and God will build up another king, should not be destroyed. That's the church. But these other kingdoms, in the Roman Empire, was a kingdom, powerful, powerful kingdom. Now, the first beast is where the Vatican is located, in Rome. The second beast has spiritual power exercised over the mind of men. Now, the Roman Catholic Church claimed that Peter was the first pope, but that's nowhere in the Bible. The pope claims to be the vicar of Christ. That's one who stands instead of another. Now, I have a book here called The Catechism of the Catholic Church, the second edition. Now, I'm going to read from it so that nobody say I misquoted it. I'm going to read from it. And you go back to the glossary and look up papacy, papa. Now, I want this definition. Listen carefully. The Roman Vatican has 1.2 billion members calling themselves Christians. They say they were the first church. It's not in your Bible. There's power in Rome. The papacy, the supreme jurisdiction, let's listen to it, and ministry of the Pope as shepherd of the whole church, a successor of St. Peter. So he's saying the Pope is next in line to Peter. This is blasphemy, y'all. They're going against everything the Bible says. And therefore, he's Bishop of Rome and Vicar of Christ. The Pope is the perpetual and visible principle of the unity in faith and communion in the church. The church, they saying, the church is the Roman Catholic Church. That's the universal church. But remember, the dragon had man speaking his words. So look at this. Let's look at the definition of a pope. If you want to do it, you can go look. You can Google it these days. But I got their book, the Catechism here. Most Catholics never read this. The pope. What is the pope? Who is he? He's the successor of St. Peter as Bishop of Rome and Supreme Pontiff of the universal. That's what he said. Same thing. He's universal. All nations, kindreds will listen to him. Universal church. That's what they're saying. The Pope, listen to this guy. He exercises a primacy of authority as vicar of Christ. Stop right there. What is the definition of vicar, Brother Brooks? Well, just go online, go to your dictionary, read it. It's one who stands instead of another. So, when a man say, I'm a vicar of Christ, he's saying, I'm Christ on earth. That's blasphemy. Remember, the beast had blasphemy on his head. When a man say he's Christ, listen to him. The Pope is considered Christ. And he receives divine assistance promised by Christ to the church. That's a lie. That's blasphemy. God never said nowhere in his word, he's never promised the Pope that he'd have divine assistance. And when he defines infallibly a doctrine of faith or morals, what are you saying? See, he can make up doctrine and tell people, here's what you can do. Here's what you do. The Pope has the power to write a Bible. He can write whatever he want to write. He's a man like me and you. He going to die and go back to the dirt like many of them have. But while he's on earth, here's the blasphemy. He can write whatever he want to write. I hope people in the Catholic Church are listening to this, and they go back to their book that they got in catechism school. They tell you this man is saying he's God on earth. That's blasphemy, y'all. So Rome, where the Vatican is at, one of the beasts, sea beast. The earth beast is the Pope. And he speak, look like a lamb when you look at it. He look innocent, humble. But what he teaches, what comes from his mind, is against the will of God. It's against the will of God. This is scary. But it's right here in the Bible. And so I've proven to you. And you can go and look it up. Check behind me if you want to. I encourage you to. I want you to listen to the Bible. Now, when a man says something that comes out of his mouth and is different from what Scripture says, that's the beast. The dragon is speaking through a man. I'm going to show you that in a second. Y'all listen to what I just said carefully. The dragon, Satan, speaks through men. Listen to the Bible now. In 1 Timothy 4, I'm getting ready to prove it. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That in latter time, that's now. We latter time after Christ. Some will depart from the faith, the one true Bible, the faith, the true faith, the family of God and the faith of Jesus. That's the one true faith. Look, he said, they're going to give heed to seducing spirits. Remember, the devil got doctrine. The devil got angels, and he got spokesmen. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice what he says. He got doctrines of devils. Different teachings than what's in the scripture is blasphemy. That's rejecting the Spirit of God. Notice what they're going to do. These seductive spirits that left the truth will teach doctrines of devils. Here's what a devil's doctrine would tell people. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. They will lie. Hypocritical. Looking like they're Christians. Looking like they saints, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It don't bother them to put on this front to say, I'm holy. I can walk around with a stick, a cross, and put a white hood on and look impurity. Then the lie comes out. Here comes the devil speaking through their mouth, forbidding to marry. Why do you think the Pope is not married? Because that's the teachings of the Catholic Church. The forbidding to marry. They're telling men that they can't marry a woman. They tell a woman, the nuns, you can't be married to be in this church. That didn't come from Christ. The Bible says marriage is honorable unto all and the bed undefiled. The whole mother and daughter of God would judge. God called marriage honorable. The devil said, and Paul said, the devil going to tell you, it's going to come from his mouth, is you can't marry. You got to be celibate. That's why them nuns have babies and they kill them and bury them. They've been found so many buried by nuns. Why? They got pregnant. Why? Because God never told them. He made a woman to have a baby. Not to be celibate. Why y'all think all these priests raped all these little boys? Is it because God told him he couldn't marry? No, God told him. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's better to marry than murder. Paul told him this. He told him in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 what we got to do. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. And what he said is good. That's a good thing. If you have that ability. But Paul, hear what Paul said. Paul says, look here. Now concerning things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, verse 2, thank God for nevertheless, to avoid fornication, which is sin, and let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have his own, her own husband. Now that's what God said. And then Paul comes back and say, the devil going to tell you that you can't marry. And commanded to abstain from meat. Now, a certain day, they can't eat meat. That didn't come from the Bible. Forbidding us, tell a man he can't marry, and tell him on certain days you can't eat no meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. The man will tell me I can't eat catfish, I can't eat no meat. That didn't come from God. You don't see what's going on? That's coming from a mouth, an individual who looks like a lamb, but he speaks false doctrine. He's speaking the light. He's speaking for the devil. He's speaking the dragon's words. It's the dragon who don't want us to marry. Because he know man don't have a wife, he going to commit fornication, and he going to die in his sins. The same thing going to happen to the female who can't get her a husband. You know, tell us we can't eat meat. Certain meat. Isn't that something? That's something when you can't eat meat. That's the dragon's voice talking to us. Counterfeit. Dragon. He forbids marriage, commanded to abstain from meat. This is none other than the Roman Catholic Church with the Pope at the head. And it's universal. These worldwide is the largest group of so-called Christians that are not Christians. The Roman Catholic Church breakaway was the beginning of denominationalism. And you go back and you look in history, you go to the encyclopedia, you'll find that in 606 AD, 600 years after the Church of Christ was established, founded in on the day of Pentecost, the Church of Christ came to be the Church of Christ, then we now have all these 43,000 denominations. The daughter, we're going to talk about that. The great whore is coming up. The breakaway from the church that led the breakaway started in Rome. The first breakaway, and from her came children, denominational churches, 43,000 are on this earth right now. Some of them that you are very familiar with, the Roman Catholic Church. You got, in 1500, you got the Lutheran Church, and the Baptist Church, and the Catholic Church, and the Episcopal Church, and Church of God in Christ, and Baptist, and all these people, the Methodist Church, Wesley, all these founders. You can just go look. You got to go find their founders, their names, and where they were founded at. They're not in the Bible. They're not in there, y'all. And I got a lot of people, my family members and members of the Baptist Church, not because the Bible said told us to be members of it. You know, all these people broke away. Now we got what we call doctrines of men. And here's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians. He said this to us in 2 Thessalonians. I want you to listen carefully to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. There it is. The falling away occurred when they left the true church. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not, it's this guy with that blasphemy, acting like he God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, Paul said, and now you know that without it, he might be received in time. He said, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now let it until it be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, the word of God, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders. Notice this. And with all the deceivingness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. They should believe a lie. Their conscience is seared. They just believe anything. No bother. And they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's in your Bible. That was let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and read that. You go read that. It's going to be there. It's going to be there when I get off the phone. Go back over there and read that. People need to know this. We need to know. We need to know this is in the Bible. This is in the Bible. Amen. Now, I'm just about finished. But I have to make sure you get this. We don't want to miss this. We don't want to miss it. Oh, man, we don't want to miss this one. Now, here's what he said. As a result of doctrines of devils or doctrines of men, the whole world is divided religiously. They're divided. You want to know why? All these men teaching different things other than what the scriptures say. That's what we want. In the church choir, we warn people about division. Paul's 1 Corinthians 1:10. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, that y'all speak the same thing. That there be no division among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. That's what he said. There should be no division. There's no such thing as denomination in the scripture. That started with the Roman Catholic Church. They denominated. Then somebody would say, Brother Brooks, I'm not in a denomination. My church I go to is non-denominated. Well, let me give you a math class this morning. 10/5 = 2. When I went to school, the top number was the original number. That's 10. They call that the numerator. And below that was a 5. They call that the denominator. And then when you divide the two, you get another number called 2. 10/5 = 2. So they say, how do you know which one was the original? Well, the original one was the top one before it got divided by the bottom one, which is 5. And they renamed it so it's a 2. So now you know the 2 is not the 10. Okay, you get that? That's here's non-denominational work. The original church is at the top of the divide. See, Church of Christ. Below it is right men. And men, when they divided from the Church of Christ, they renamed so that you know it's not the original name, because the rename is Baptist. The rename is Catholic. The rename is, and you say, I'm non-denomination. You're just saying, I'm not affiliated with the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church. I'm the community church. That just means, all that means for the preachers, he don't have to send his money to no headquarters, like in the Catholic Church, these congregations send their money back to Rome. The Baptist Church, they got headquarters. Methodist Church got headquarters. They send their money. But when I can build my own church called Tommy Brooks Tabernacle, and I ain't got to give nobody the money. I just take it all and lie to you. Just tell you, hey, you ain't got to be baptized. Come on here, get your praise on. Clap your hand. Stand up and give God a hand. Clap a praise. Get it on here. Now you're starting to feel like you're in the club again. You're feeling really good. Hey, let's do some beatboxing. Let's do some Dougie Fresh stuff. Huh? Let's do some rapping. You know, folk would flock in to Tommy Brooks, the Tabernacle, or Brook of Off, rappers to come in. Kanye West come up with his own Bible. Now he's talking about being the president, thinking he God or something. Where do you think this is coming from? People, men are building churches everywhere. Just put the church up and make money. Don't y'all see what's going on? People ought to see. I make me wonder, how can people be so blind? I can't be so blind. Can't see this. No, you can see it if you got good sense. If you got good sense, you can see this. People can see this. They want to see it. You know, I take my time. I just believe we need to know this. We need to know it because Paul is telling us, the Bible is telling us, is teaching us. Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Peter said in 2 Peter 2:1, for there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. He's telling them then, y'all, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Notice what he said. Peter said in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's blasphemy. The way of truth is evil spoken of. That can only come from the mouth of Satan, the mouth of the dragon. That's what I want to, don't marvel. Satan got ministers of righteousness. He has his own people who will speak, transform themselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. They transform themselves. They want us to believe that they are truly ministers of God. That's why they wear robes and look holy. Listen to Paul now. Listen to him. Then why you never get to call Brother Brooks Reverend or Father. Holy Reverend is God's name. Psalm 111 verse 9. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, he said, well, I go back up to 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no more, don't be surprised, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's that lamb look with the voice of the dragon. The dragon speaks blasphemy against God, against the temple, against the church, and against the people. Therefore, Paul said, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. These men, I hear call themselves Reverend and Father. Jesus said, call no man Father. Walk around looking holy, talking righteousness, going against the doctrine or the teachings of Christ. So like Franklin Graham, for 30 seconds during this pandemic, he's on there telling people all you got to do is pray this prayer to be saved. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come to my heart. Pray me. You saved. That's the dragon's voice. Jesus never told nobody to pray to be saved. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Franklin Graham doing the same thing. He got the voice of the dragon. But you look at him, he looks so holy. He looks so humble and so meek, just like his daddy did. And he said, Brother Brooks, I don't think you should be calling his name. Well, you know, that's why I'm the preacher. That's why I'm the one chosen to preach at this congregation. I'm just telling you, I speak the truth in love. But some people need to know this. Some people, you know, people like us, they want to know the truth. We don't want our soul to be lost because somebody didn't tell us. Put some sugar on it, make it sound good. No, let's just call it what it is. Call it what it is, what Paul and them did. You know, I don't hate nobody for speaking the truth in love. But if they're wrong, they're wrong. God, Jesus said, call no man Father, so should the Pope. But the Pope, you know, he can write his own. He can tell you, yeah, Jesus didn't mean that. Just do what I tell you. That old dragon voice. So let me close. He called all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand and on their forehead. Now, this is where everybody gets spooky. They start talking about, oh, man, we got a chip in us or something. That ain't what he's talking about here. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or name of the beast or the number of his name. Listen, now, here's verse 18, answers the question. Here's wisdom. You want to be smart about it? Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count. This is where I get my title. Count the number of the beast. You know, count means calculate, consider, and think about what Paul, what John is writing here. He said, now, y'all listen, you think about what I'm saying. That's what he's saying. The number of the beast. Here's the answer. It is the number of a man. They don't say nothing about no chips. Somebody, you think somebody put a chip in you, they're tracking you, and the number of the beast is the credit cards or whatever they're saying, the mother foolishness out there being said. No, it's a man. That's what it is. The problem is man. The 666 is the number. His number is 666, pre-score, 666. So Christians that are sealed with the Holy Ghost have been baptized in obedience by one spirit, been baptized into one church. They've obeyed the spirit of God. Those people are sealed. So what is this 666 number? It is the number of a man. Now the Pope is a man. Reverend Joe is a man. Father so-and-so is a man. People have tried to mathematically calculate whose name this might be and tied to some individual like Saddam or some man. It's any man. A man has the mark of the beast. It's the number of a man. Let me take a rational approach. Just make it very simple. I like to leave it where, like, my dad had a secret education. I want to say, here, Dad, here's what I would say to my dad. I said, Dad, that's just symbols. The number six is before seven. So you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And so six always going to be short of the seven. So since six is short of seven, seven in the Bible represents completeness. It represents perfection. That's how it's used in the Bible. Six is never used at perfection. So the number six is close as it can get to seven, but it's not a seven. So, Daddy, it appears Satan is close with these churches. They're close to, he got people thinking they're all right. He's close. But they didn't read the seven. The seven is written in the Bible. See, they read books like the Catechism or the Baptist Manual or the Methodist Discipline, these other books that these men have wrote. So that what we need to do is just stay with the Bible. Stay away from them other books. Well, son, why am I a Baptist? Because they got a Baptist Manual. And they say that John the Baptist was a Baptist church. Now, that's what John did, Dad. You know, you were a mechanic, right? Be that Carter the mechanic. There wasn't no church. John the Baptist, he baptized. You can't understand that. There wasn't no church, y'all. Some good people there, though. What's wrong? That man misleading them. Those reverends, those fathers, those bishops, those priests. There's your six. These churches that are led, founded by men, 43,000 of them got the mark of the beast. 666. Pure close. You're only one number away from a seven. It appears Satan is winning. The Satan number is six. Y'all know that, don't you? Which will always fall short. So I would just say like this. 666 means defeat, defeat, defeat. In other words, you cannot be saved unless you go to the number seven. You're one number away. That's because all you got to do is pick up your Bible and read it. Count the number. My sermon says, you better count it. Calculate it. Consider. Are you in a church started by a man? Rubber don't know where my church started, but I can't help you if it ain't in the Bible. Go to your encyclopedia, Wikipedia, go to Google, put your church in, it'll tell you the day it started and the man that started it. And just remember, when you read his name, it's the number of a man. It's a six. If he say anything different from what scripture say, it's a six. So I hope you enjoyed the lesson this morning. If you're on the call this morning, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, certainly I've been talking about that the whole time. You, by now, you know I believe that the Bible has the right answer, and that's the only book we're going to use in Church of Christ. We still believe that we speak what the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. We still believe that way. I've always believed that way. 36 years I've been, so I'm going to stop believing that way. But now I still believe that we ought to be Bible-told and Bible-believing people. You're going to do it, let's do it according to the scripture, straight and narrow way. Be narrow-minded, right down to what Jesus said. Stop talking about you need to study and start talking about how much you need to believe. So what do you need to believe to be saved? You need to believe that God loved you. John 3:16, sent his only begotten Son, and whosoever believe him, not shall not perish, but you should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Jesus came, and he lived among men. He lived. He was touched like us, yet without sin. He know our weaknesses. He was able to walk on this earth 33 years thereabout. And then in the end of his last 24 hours of his life, he took his last supper and told his apostles, y'all remember me. This is my blood of the New Testament. After that, they took him to the garden where he cried, let this cup pass. He knew he had to suffer in Jerusalem. But he left there, y'all, after Judas kissed him. Then they took him and beat him, whipped, took him to trial, put a crown of thorn on his head, put a robe on his back. He's bleeding so bad. The Bible talks about his vesture was like dipped in blood. He was bloody from the whipping, from the scourging. America don't know nothing about scourging. We ain't never seen nobody get scourged. To get scourged, you got to take a whip with metal bones and fragments on the end of it. Tie the man to the pole, strip him naked, have all them straps going around, dig into him, whip him with a whip like he a dog or something. They whipped Jesus. And then Isaiah said, Isaiah 53, by his stripes are we healed. He talking about the blood that came from the stripes from the whip. Then they took him to Calvary. Somebody say Calvary's healed, but I never read that. It's Calvary. It's Calvary, Golgotha, place of the skull. We sing a song, only healed far away, stood on a rugged cross. It was Calvary he talking about. He had to walk the winding streets of Jerusalem to get there. And then they hung him up there, crucified him, executed him by crucifixion, put nails in his hands and in his feet. He hung up there. He gave up the ghost. He said, told his father, forgive them who did it. He cried out to his father from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He was suffering on that cross. He didn't just die of natural causes. He didn't just go to sleep. They didn't do no lethal injection. No, they put pain. He suffered on the cross. And he suffered for who? Who? What did he do wrong? He didn't do no wrong. We did. He suffered for us. That's why we must preach it. You ought to be about to cry right now, knowing how much wrong you've done, how much wrong I've done, how much wrong he did not do. He did none of that. What he did was suffer and went through painful death on the cross. And he did it. When they buried him, he got up and told the people. He told them, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. And when we hang him on the cross this morning, if that don't draw you to God, you're going to never come to him. The cross got to draw you to God. The cross got to draw you. The blood that he shed, the pain that he went through, the love that was shown. Jesus said, greater love had no man than this. And he laid down his life for his friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. He showed his friendship by suffering on the cross. And you ought to want to be saved this morning. You said, brother, how do I do that? By believing that gospel. Believe that he suffered. Believe that he was buried and rose again. And after you believe it, repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5. Paul tells us that Jesus said, you got to repent. You're going to perish. After that, you got to make a confession. What is the confession? That you're a sinner? No. The confession is that you believe what you read. That is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You never seen him. You believe that. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You believe it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to believe the scripture, Hebrews 11:6. We believe the scripture. We believe in Jesus. We believe he was the Son of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. After that, you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized. Why? Because God commanded it. Jesus commanded it. Peter came back and said, baptism now also does now save us. Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, the great apostle, what he had to do. He told what he had to do. He said, arise and be baptized. Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Call on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. The day of Pentecost, when the people realized they were the one who killed Jesus, they got all shook up over it. Asked Peter, men and brothers, what are we going to do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. What do you need to do this morning? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission or the forgiveness of sin. And then you'll be added to the one true church. What church is that? You don't hear me say it. It's the church of Christ. It's the only one in the Bible. Romans 16:16. Paul says, salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. My friends, I don't apologize for nothing I've said. The number of the man, count the number of the beast. It's because it's all these men who done stopped short of what the Bible say. They done built their own churches. And it all started in Rome, where the Papa Pope is at. But he looked like a lamb with the voice of the dragon. That's false doctrine. If you want to call the name, you want to be saved. You say, well, I just don't believe like that, brother. Well, when you die, you'll find out if you're right or wrong. I'm gonna believe just like this. I'm gonna do with this book. I heard a man yesterday talking about his son got killed. He said, I taught him in one of those anarchic kind of places where they didn't want the police at. The boy got killed, 17-year-old, I think he was. His father was on the news crying about his son. He didn't know how he got killed. But he said, I taught him how to live. He said, I taught my son how to live. But I couldn't teach him how to die because they ain't never died. That's the best we can all do. Teach them how to live. Have you taught your children? Have you taught your children how to live? You teach them how to live by teaching them what the scriptures say. I wanted to tell him that if I could have talked to him. I said, sir, you teach them how to live by living the scripture. You teach them how to die by telling them to prepare. You ain't been there and back. But the Bible tells us how to prepare for death. Are you prepared to meet your God? If you're a Christian, obey today. If you visit with us, we'll baptize you today. If you're in another state, we'll find a church craft for you to get baptized. If you're on the call, you want to be baptized, we get ready to have an invitation song. You want to be baptized, or you want to repent, make confession, or you want to come home, brothers and sisters, and left the church, if you haven't been faithful, you can restore. You can ask for forgiveness. Amen. You can do that. What do we all need to do? Count the number. Count the number of the beast. Be sure. You don't follow Brother Brooks if I'm wrong. You count that number. Speak where the Bible speak. That's a seven. Believe what the Bible says. That's a seven. If Brother Brooks say something that's not a seven, don't you follow me. You count that number. I hope that's clear. Because I'm not going to follow you. If you say something ain't in the Bible, I'm not going along with you, my friend. No, sir. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And if I find out I'm wrong, I'm going to change it. How about you? We got a song of invitation now. We want those who want to come, those who want to get baptized. We want those who need to make confession. If you need us to pray for you for any reason, we have a verse of a song. While we're singing, just go ahead and hit 5-star on your phone, and then we'll know that's you, and we'll let you speak. Hope you enjoy the lesson.